Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Welcome to this live report of Friends from Work coming at you from the news desk here in Austin, Texas. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm sitting here trying to, like, I was trying to convert that into the Friends from Work theme song in my head, but you were doing the news song so convincingly.
Welcome to this live report.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, yeah.
Friends from Work.
There it is. Nice. Hey, thanks.
Wow. On the eve of Thunderbolts. Asterix.
Wow. Yeah. Man, is... Okay, so yeah, we're recording this right as we were about to head out to the theater.
Minutes before.
You and I have not talked for pod... Well, we've talked. We have not spoken on the record since our saga so far. Mm-hmm. I think since then... As we were talking, the early reviews or reactions were starting to hit. Am I correct that the movie has also, like, leaked since then? I'm not aware of anything. I'm not going to, like, spoil anything because I obviously don't know.
I saw some people post that. I saw that at minimum a few key things were leaked. And so The second I saw that news, shut it down.
Yeah.
So since our saga so far, I have not opened that channel on Discord, and I have not really been online at all. All I know is that people are really pumped, and this has really good energy. This is you and I coming out here feels, it always feels good to be out here, but this feels like, you remember the energy we had for our first one ever with Black Widow? That's kind of, I mean, honestly, it feels like a little
bit. Well, it's also fun because it's sort of full circle. Like, that was our first one together. Mm-hmm. That was our first Marvel movie ever together, I think. Mm. Even the Infinity Saga. Mm. I don't know that we ever saw any together.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, this is, like we talked about in the Saga So Far episode, which if you're listening and didn't catch that, we would recommend, because that's really our, like, prep you for Thunderbolts episode. But like we said, this really is in a lot of ways a Black Widow sequel. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun that we're back here, and I feel like it makes sense that we're feeling some of the same energy.
So today is kind of a bonus episode because, as Robbie mentioned, we have a Thunderbolts saga so far that came out last Thursday. That's like 90 minutes, our full-length preview of it. But we wanted to tell you of a couple things. One, we got a chance to talk to the manager of Austin Books and Comics, just the coolest guy.
Yeah.
And why are we talking to the manager from Austin Books and Comics? Well, because if you're listening to this the week of the release of Thunderbolts, we're going to be live on Free Comic Book Day at Austin Books and Comics, Saturday, May 3,
yep,
in the morning. And it's going to be a really good time. We're just going to be doing some giveaways, saying hi to listeners, talking about comics, talking about movies, maybe even doing an episode live from the little booth we have there. So we're really excited about that. And Joe is a perfect guest at the end of this episode to kind of set that up for people.
Yeah, it's fun. So like people know, Austin Books and Comics has been my comic book store really going on 10 years now since I got back into comics. Joe is, he's been the guy that I see like once a week whenever I go in for the last year or so, which has been fun, which is why it's fun to find a local comic book store. But he talks about just the process of like what the business of comic book stores looks like in 2025, which I think not a lot of people know about. Mm. He talks about the thought behind Free Comic Book Day, which I know a lot of people don't know about because you and I mentioned it on the podcast and then heard from folks that had never even heard of that. But then he also...
It'll be my first Free Comic Book Day.
It's really like, it's a unique thing. And I think it highlights how unique comic book stores are just in general. Like, as Joe and I have talked about before, and I think we talked about a little bit in the interview here, like, there really isn't a comparable place at least anymore, like a comparable brick and mortar spot that people will go to on a certain day every week. But there is something that's really fun. Like I see the same people shopping there. If you go the day new comics have come out, like you see the same people working. Mm-hmm. They ask you what you're reading and you ask them if they've read whatever new issue that's come out that it's everyone's talking about. It's a legit community. Yeah, it really is it's a special thing that I think has kind of been lost in a lot of other sectors as things grow increasingly digital. So we talked about that some here, but then also one of my weird gaps in my Marvel reading history, which there are less and less of those as I read way too many comics, but I have not actually read that many Thunderbolts comics. Mm. I've read some, and you know there are a couple of different sort of seminal runs, but we've talked a lot about the New Avengers, Dark Avengers influence on it, because I do think that that's where a lot of the movie is pulling from. But what was great is Joe, in preparation for our conversation, I think he had already read a lot of the Thunderbolt stuff. So I asked him to kind of dig back into some of that. And so he gives us some high level stuff on those actual Thunderbolts comics in the interview. So it gets your mind right for the event, but if you're not able to go to the event, it also gets your mind right for Thunderbolts. Mm.
So another reason I wanted to quickly check in today, this is important enough that a lot of people have been messaging us this. So now I need to follow up on it. Daredevil, Born Again, finished just a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. finale episode. And I totally missed this. You totally missed this. Neither of us followed up on this. So my shirt's going to come in handy here. Have you caught some of these messages from our listeners about what we missed? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Is this the score?
Yes.
Yes. And,
there's been a little bit of almost controversy with this because, so just for people who don't know what we're talking about, in the Born Again finale, there's a scene where Matt and Karen are kind of above Red Hook and they're looking down at a bunch of bad dudes mm-hmm. and some ships and stuff. And Matt's thinking about going in there and Karen's like, you're just going to die. And she kind of talks him out of it. And there's a point where he says, we can win this. We can take our city back. We need an army. Essentially.
Yeah.
And here's the point. When he says we need an army, really faintly in the background, you kind of hear a hint at Spider-Man's theme. Da, da. No. Hold on. I was about to do the video game. dun, 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 dun. Right. But it's like.
Yeah.
You know, with one single yeah. voice. And I think that's why we missed it. It's really quiet. But enough people messaged me. And apparently some people on TikTok have taken the score.
Yeah.
Turned it way up. To just that section. And sure enough, it is those four or five notes or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the Newton brothers in an interview apparently confirmed that that was the case, that they snuck that in there.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's not just hearsay. They then said, we did do that. But the controversy comes, my understanding, and someone can fact check me on this, is that the showrunner, Dario, I don't know if he approved it or not yet. They did it, and then he was like, I don't know if they should have done that, or something like that. I think that's my understanding. But that they did come out and say it happened, and then somebody from the team was like, well, easy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, because how – I feel like if – okay, I'm stepping back here. If the Newton brothers knew that Spider-Man is going to be in season 2 and that was pointing towards that, I feel like they would have been really careful before sneaking something in, because they would know that it would blow up, right? So it almost makes me think, if they did sneak that in and if it wasn't formally approved, then they... Or maybe it has been approved
and
everyone else is just...
Easter egging and joking around?
Yeah. I mean, but then it's... The other strange thing to me is watching the scene again. I see what people are saying. He's talking about the army, but also it's not a clear enough tie to me, in that conversation, where it actually hits. I feel like if they were trying to show that more directly, there was even a different placement in that conversation with Karen, right after he says army. Where it's everyone in this city needs to stand together, cue the theme. It feels more like it's just kind of being dropped in there. I don't know
what it means, to be honest. But obviously it was intentional to some degree. So yeah, either, yeah.
That's
either they knew what they were doing, in which case they had to have guessed that somebody would pick up on it. Or I mean, they were just screwing around, in which case, I don't know if you get in trouble for that kind of thing.
I'm curious what their exact, like...
Yeah, fact check us out there.
Yeah, like, what did they not confirm, I wonder? No, I'm just curious now. Now I want to see. Because I'm just like, if... That feels like the one thing that you don't do in Marvel World unless yeah. you kind of know what your clearance is.
Can we just also back out and say... If they knew what they were doing and it is a hint, it's the coolest thing ever.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
for sure.
Like if yeah. it actually yeah, does yeah. come, it's more that we're just reserved because we want it to happen so bad. And so if it doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like I would love it.
While he's looking that up, I'm going to say that we are on our way to the theater in a few minutes here when we shut this down. I'm so excited about Thunderbolts. We'll be all over social media giving our reaction, but also on the way to the theater, I think I'm going to go live on Instagram. So this doesn't mean anything to you, but if you are now hearing this, go check out our Instagram. We may have a live kind of preview discussion on Instagram. We're going to do some social media reaction afterward, immediately following the film. And if you're still in the avoid all spoilers, any kind of reaction phase, then you can still go to our YouTube channel and check out our screen recap, which is an 11 and a half minute video we put together. Robbie wrote, I narrated, of all the clips from the different old movies and everything you need to know about these characters before they show up on screen on Friday. And so check that out. Get your mind right, because we are getting our minds right. I'm about as into the Thunderbolts world as I can be. And hopefully we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about come Thursday night. Anyways, back to Spider-Man.
We're going to have a lot to talk about, I think. But I feel like what I'm seeing, and I'll have to look whenever we're not on camera, but it looks like someone tweeted at them saying that, like, is this what I think it is? Then that they, like, replied with a gif of Wilson Fisk kind of, like, in a sort of knowing thing, which to me seems okay. very flimsy.
Okay.
Like, if I were them, like, I think about the, like, there are times where when someone asks me a question and I don't know what to say, I send, like, exactly something like that. And then it's like, what does that mean? And yeah, I'm like, exactly.
Now you're out of it. Of the discussion.
I mean, it's like I don't know. I mean, I would love if that were the case.
Even if it's not a hint at something, you can't put those five notes in that progression with that rhythm and not expect something to happen.
Right.
Like, of all characters, if they're going to, like, copyright some other melody, don't do Spider-Man's.
Is it, I mean, have you looked into whether, because I know the counter narrative is that is Karen's theme for the show. Have you listened to that?
Somebody sent me, no, I have not listened specifically.
Because I haven't either.
I watched a TikTok video where it is, like, pretty distinctly the same notes. Now it's possible that they just overlap and that happens.
Yeah.
We've had that before in other things, but either way, fun tidbit.
Yeah. Wow.
That's about all I had for today before Joe.
Yeah.
Last chance to say something before you all have seen it.
Oh man, that's so true. No, I mean, well, you know what? I think because I'm sure that this is what's going to happen. Like, we're going to see all of these. We're going to see all these performances that, like, have already been getting buzz, I'm sure, and get rave reviews. But I think we started to talk about this a little bit last time and ran out of time. I really do think that this is a uniquely stacked project, both casting wise and like the crew. From, like, I've been listening back to the Everything Everywhere All at Once score from Sunlux, and that's really good. It's better than I remembered it being. It's really interesting. And then I was seeing that
you're watching Beef,
which I talked about, which has continued to be excellent. And I think that I can't remember if I hit this or not last time, but I think the thing about the show that makes me most confident from the, like, directing standpoint is how well it handles the balance of, like, heart and humor, which I increasingly think is, like, the thing that you have to nail for a Marvel movie to work well. Like, you look at every Marvel movie that is viewed in, like, the upper echelon, and I would say, like, Winter Soldier is the least funny and still has some, like, funny bits. And I think, like, the movies that have veered too far onto one side or the other are the ones that don't work for people. And that, I don't think that that has to be every superhero movie, because, like, I don't think that people think of the Nolan trilogy as super funny, but I, or having,
they're not really funny at all.
Actually. Yeah. But I think, like, that the way that they're balancing that in Beef gives me a lot of confidence. And it was funny because you and I have been saying this now for, like, at least a year or two. We even in our saga so far, like, our friendly reminder YouTube video, we talk about, like, the Guardians comparison. Mm-hmm. And did you see some of the notes in the initial reactions where people were saying that it is, like, a spiritual successor to Guardians 1?
I didn't see that, and I don't want to verge on spoiler territory here, but just if you want to know nothing, I guess maybe stop listening. But I saw a lot of people praising how it handled some of the heavier material, which actually gets me more excited than anything. And yeah. Guardians may be a little bit different than that, because if anything, Guardians airs on the comedy side.
Yeah,
I'm anticipating tonight kind of airing on the more dramatic side with some funny bits.
Yeah. Although Guardians obviously, still had some, like...
They bring it home.
Like your moment. But yeah, so all of that makes me excited, like, tonally. But then, man, I'm genuinely so excited to see the, like, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that we've seen. And we've talked about stunts and all that.
Mm-hmm. I need to talk about that more in a second.
Which I'm also a little bit bummed because did you see that, like, they finally... are, like, instating the best stunt design, I think, is the actual category for the Oscars.
Why are you bummed?
I'm bummed because it's not going to actually be in the show for another couple years.
Oh, so Thunderbolts.
And I feel like Thunderbolts could, based on all the stuff that I'm seeing, be a legit contender.
The cinematographer from something else, too, right? What am I blanking? Yeah. The cinematographer
from The Green Knight.
Yes.
Which I like.
Looks amazing. And Jake, the director, shared one Instagram post where he said, trying to make a movie, I'm going to get this wrong.
Like as in camera?
As in camera as possible. Yeah. And it was like a highlight reel of all his like behind the scenes footage.
Yeah.
And the behind the scenes footage for me was so, it gets me more fired up than anything because, you know, I've died on this hill of like practical effects and locations, like sets and locations, like set on location. I mean, more than anything, it's a huge reason why I was a fan of that aspect of Eternals.
Yeah.
And why I think that aspect of Eternals looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted like, even like a little downtown shot. There's some obviously props and stuff made so they can blow cars up and whatever, but it still was like in like a downtown and he posted a thing from the desert and it's like just them in the desert. And then them like chasing some of the shots in a helicopter and filming that and the jump obviously off the building, actually being that they actually blew up a building for that scene in the trailer, blew up a floor
That's
in a
crazy
downtown thing.
I missed that.
Yeah. So much so that there were some jokes in a fun way, lighthearted, about the other way, like cinema's back, but 100 people died. Yeah. Hope everyone's happy. You know, nothing. But anyways, it does actually get me fired up that they took that conscious of approach. So I am.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I am trying to, and I think it's good for our audience to remember this. I'm trying to go into the movie. Like I went into Brave New World with pretty low expectations and it met them. And so that was fun. I have really high expectations for this movie, but I'm still trying to go in not carrying any kind of weight. I don't want to go into this movie thinking it has to be a massive doomsday setup or there has to be cameos.
Yeah.
Or like, I think I'm in a good spot where I have such high expectations, but I don't think I'm going to be disappointed because I don't know, maybe it's because it's kind of not fringe characters, but it's not like Iron Man and that maybe I can't be disappointed in what they do with those characters. Like I'm not invested enough, but I think I'm so confident in the team behind the film that I just don't think I'm going to walk out that way. And I hope that everyone can go with that mindset. Like, not going in to judge it, going in to realize like we only get three of these this year. Let's have an awesome time. And it's getting amazing reviews. Like, let's just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, I do. I do like, I don't even want to get into bold predictions because I don't, you know, none of this is like, none of it would be educated by anything other than like our own hunches based on prior stuff, not on like any rumors, but I still don't want to like get anyone's head in a certain headspace.
Right. But my heart will skip a beat if somehow Dr. Doom shows up in the post credits.
That would be crazy. So, but I'm vulnerable. I think what's interesting about this, like my headspace going into it is, on the one hand, I think it's got a lot of that like Guardians energy where it's like the stakes feel a little low and it feels like they're letting people just like do it the way they want to do it and have fun. Like, and I don't just mean the director or like the folks behind the camera. I also mean like the cast, like with Florence Pugh talking about really pushing Feige to like let her do a lot of this stuff practically. And so like it has that kind of like, we're getting to do what we want in a way that maybe you can't quite do on like even like Civil War, you know. But on the other hand, like it does feel like it could be closer to Civil War in terms of the like ramifications for the ongoing story, just because like almost by necessity, we've talked about this, it's Fantastic Four and Spider-Man. And those are the only other movies other than the final Avengers movies that are, so it's like,
I think it's going to be largely self-contained, and then there's going to be a crazy tie-in. Not just like a little mention. There's going to be some,
yeah,
I think like bombshell towards the very end, or maybe it's the post-credit sequence, something. And I don't know that. I haven't seen anything. Arishim's
coming back.
Yeah, that's what it is. But I think it's going to be mostly about itself, and then there's going to be enough to be like, oh my gosh. Not just like a tacked on one either.
No, I think that's right. I think that they're going to want, because of the way they've marketed this movie, I feel like they want people to feel like you can enjoy it without it being heavily soaked in MCU lore. But again, I also think that they have to want to move the ball forward in some ways. And I have seen certain things where people have talked about it, like feeling like it's like, like it is significant story-wise, like for the overall narrative. So I'm excited. I am really excited to see the cinematography, though. Like, not just because of the Green Knight, but also his work on David Lowery's other stuff and his Moon Knight stuff. Like, I think it makes me excited.
Okay, we got to go. We're going to be late otherwise to the movie. Be sure to stick around and listen to Joe. It's about like a 20-minute interview. It's a great discussion. And then we'll see you back here after you've seen Thunderbolts for our initial reactions episode. And if you're in Texas, come say hi on Saturday, May 3 in the morning. Austin Books and Comics live. We're hanging out. We'll see you then. Listen to Joe. We'll be back.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
At Ritual, we're celebrating all moms this Mother's Day, current and aspiring. So whether you're looking for fertility support, natal choline, or our best-selling clinically backed prenatal, we've got you covered. Find your Ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator, as of Q4 2024 in top 5 products.
All right. The man, the myth, the legend, Joe Pate, joining us today. Welcome to Friends from Work, Joe.
Well, hello, Robbie. It's good to see you, man. It's another beautiful Friday here in Austin, Texas. It's a pleasure to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
It's been almost a full 15 hours since the last time that I saw you.
It's hard to stay away, man. It's so good to see you. Yeah. Thanks for coming by to pick up that pull list.
Oh man. Yeah. And of course, every time it's like that stack is, I like whenever I bring it back in and Candace is like sitting at the table, I've gotten to where I have to like do the like carry it slightly behind my back so like she can see the stack of comics, but she can't quite see how thick the stack of comics is.
Totally. Understandable, you know, man.
Mechanisms. But I, you know, people that have been listening to the show for a long time know that my story is like Austin Books and Comics is pretty crucial to my development as a comics reader. I grew up reading trades because I didn't really have any comic book stores near me. And then I feel like a lot of people were this way. I kind of fell off comics late in high school and early in college. And then as I was getting out of that, as I was starting law school in Austin and I needed something that was not a casebook, I saw Austin Books and Comics right near where our house was at the time, and went and just started with Bendis's Avengers Disassembled, because someone had told me that was a good place to kind of pick back up with modern Marvel. And I started there and started reading forward and eventually caught up and have now basically been going, you know, weekly to the store ever since. So a lot of folks have heard about Austin Books and Comics without ever really having much context for what that is. You are the manager of Austin Books and Comics, but that's a relatively, I say relatively recent. Was that, is it coming up on 2 years now that you've been at the
shop? It's coming up on 1 year. Free Comic Book Day is going to be my 1 year anniversary.
Wow. Okay. That's crazy that it's not even been a year yet. Cause I feel like so much has happened since you took over.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I've been, you know, it's an opportunity to fly the Millennium Falcon, right? This is a 50-year-old comic book shop, easily one of the best ones in the world. And so just to have the opportunity to get in the pilot seat, you know, it's how much energy can you put into the system? And this thing has taken off and I'm so lucky to be a part of it. And we have an incredible team. So, it's really been an awesome experience, and you know, it's only been a year, but it's flown by, and this next year is going to be even more exciting, you know, more signings, more events, so much to look forward to here in 2025. So, and it's great to have you with us, Robbie, along with the journey.
Oh man. No, it's my pleasure. I do really feel like I've been spoiled. Like you said, as I get out and talk to more folks around the country, around the world, and look at these other stores. I mean, there are so many cool comic book stores in so many cities, and it's cool how they each one sort of reflects the local culture, even like a neighborhood culture. But I don't think I realized how lucky I was that Austin Books and Comics is the store that I just happened to stumble into. It was just the one in my zip code. And I'm now realizing that it really is like, it is the Millennium Falcon of comic book stores. which is to say, I think it's our folks would maybe be interested to hear how you wound up working at the store. Cause you went to UT, to University of Texas here.
That's right.
Are you from the Austin area originally?
So I'm originally from Fort Worth, Texas. And so your experience with comic book kind of mirrors mine. Like we have some shops up there. So there's some really good ones in Dallas for sure, but that's kind of a far drive for me. And, you know, I was always interested in these characters, you know, like loved the original X-Men movies when they came out. Spider-Man, come on, Sam Raimi Spider-Man changed my life in 2002.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I had this like hunger for these characters. And so, you know, I'd go to Barnes and Noble or Borders and get like the Dorling Kindersley, like encyclopedia to Spider-Man and like learn all the characters, but like could never, like engage with the stories. Cause I didn't know how to get into it. So, you know, I started with trade paperbacks too. And eventually, you know, I got my hands on Alan Moore's Swamp Thing run, which is, you know, one of my favorite runs of mainstream comics. And it just like completely blew my mind. It's like everything comic books could be, should be, you know, like it is really an incredible medium. And it's like discovering movies for the first time, right? It's like opening a door in your brain to this whole world of, you know, creativity and storytelling and artwork, and escape, you know, like I found myself back into comics, you know, going through like hard personal times. You know, you can always come back to these stories artists you like, writers you like, and, you know, themes that make you feel better about the world. And ultimately, like, this is really important stuff. You know, comic books help people. And I really believe that. And so that's why I'm so passionate about this. And I'm trying to get as many comic books into as many people's hands as possible, because it's a community that gives back so much. And I'm just lucky to be a part of it.
Well, and you and I have talked about before how comic book stores really are a unique thing in at least in kind of modern America. Like I can't think of another spot that you visit routinely on a weekly or at least like several times a month basis and see the same folks to pick up a physical thing. Like you're not, you know, we have great bookstores in Austin, but you're not going to kind of get into that rhythm going to a bookstore in the same way. And there's not really another place to find something that's coming out episodically, which lends itself to that rhythm, but also to building the community within the store. So it is a very different thing once you kind of find yourself in a spot where you can go and pick up these single issues as they're coming out, hear from the people in the store, what they've read, what they haven't read, what they're hearing.
Totally. You know, it is, it's a community, right? Like it is such a special thing to have people come in weekly and talk to them about their week, what's going on, what they're reading, you know, artists they're excited about. And, you know, people have always had, you know, the choice, or at least, you know, in the last 5 years or whatever, to have these comic books sort of like beam directly to their phone. And I'm always encouraged by how many people just want to get out and do something in their day and have a third place that's not home, that's not work. They can come in here and talk about their passions. We can talk about Power Rangers. We can talk about Ninja Turtles. You want to talk about Venom. You know, I can go on and on about all sorts of stuff. So it's a really a special place for people to be themselves. And it's a big tent. You know, we want as many types of people that are, you know, interested in these stories as possible. And, you know, like you said, you know, stores kind of reflect the city or neighborhood that they're in. You know, I feel like Austin Books reflects Austin in an incredible way. You know, we have a really robust independent section, consignment books, supporting a lot of local creators. So, you know, this is a special place for everybody. And I'm really excited to be a part of this free comic book day. It's going to be the biggest one ever. So,
man. Okay. So yeah, that's the perfect transition. We've talked about on the show already. And I know we have some folks across Texas coming in to join us. We are, Kyle and I will be at Austin Books just over a week from now for the Free Comic Book Day celebration. But, you know, as we've already heard from some of our listeners, a lot of folks were not even aware that Free Comic Book Day was a thing. So I was hoping you can maybe talk a little bit about what that day is meant to be, what it looks like at Austin Books, and kind of what folks can expect generally if they're going to try to go out next Saturday and be a part of that somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you use the word celebration, like it's a celebration of comic books, of our community, of these, you know, heroes and worlds that we've loved all our lives. And so Free Comic Book Day started in 2002, a guy named Joe Field in California at Flying Colors Comics saw the increase in interest in comic books and superheroes as a result of X-Men came out in 2000 and then Spider-Man in 2002. So in the lead up to Spider-Man, Joe Field came up with this idea to have a free comic book day to, you know, it's an event that's for families, right? It's meant to be like a kid's first comic book. Or, you know, anyone that hasn't had a comic book before, come in and have it be this celebration to get a free book in your hand and experience this community that we've all loved for so long. And it's done so much for us that, you know, so the first Free Comic Book Day was on May 4th, 2002. So the day after Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man came out.
Wow.
So the history of Free Comic Book Day and Marvel movies have always, you know, have always been linked. So, you know, it's really cool. The the thing is Free Comic Book Day has also been important in comic book history. You know, like big things have been released on the day. Mm. So, you know, like Secret Empire in 2017 is where it was revealed that Captain America was like working for Hydra. That famous panel of Hail Hydra, Steve Rogers saying that happened. And Secret Wars happened and started in 2015. So, you know, Free Comic Book Day is also important for the stories in comics. But here at our shop this year, it's going to be like a huge celebration. We're having snow cones. We're giving away prizes at all four of our stores. You know, we have four stores. So there's going to be something for everybody here. We're having great signings. Ngozi Okazu, the writer of Barda, is going to be in the house. She's from Austin. She's an incredible person. We're so lucky to have her, and we love Barda here. That's definitely a book that, you know, we try to get in people's hands as much as possible.
I need to pick up that book, actually.
Yeah. And then David Marquez, the writer on Uncanny X-Men and also many other things. You know, he's a legend and one of the best artists working in comics right now. He'll be in the house signing stuff. So there's going to be so much stuff, but really the goal is to reach as many people as possible. You know, it's an awesome way to spend a Saturday with your family, with your friends, bring everybody. You know, there's a line wrapping around the building and you know, but there's plenty to do. It'll be a really exciting event. Come in costume, you know, like we try to encourage people to be themselves and take it as an opportunity to wear your cosplay and, you know, put on that Winter Soldier arm and, you know, you know, really go for it. Cause you know, this is the most wonderful time of the year in the comic book world. So, you know, we're trying to make it as big as possible.
I won't reveal. And, you know, it's taking into account the fact that we'll be outside and you never know exactly how things will feel outside in May in Austin, but I'm doing a little light cosplay next weekend, so we'll see.
Absolutely,
we'll see what Kyle shows up in. Well, but it is funny that it's May 3rd this year, and that you referenced the 2002 Spider-Man release. I am such a like Spider-Man flows so deep in my veins that like I will never not remember May 3rd as the day that Spider-Man came out. Like whenever I come up on a May 3rd in any year, it's hilarious to me that that's the first place that my brain goes, especially because my sister's birthday is May 4th. And so I feel like that should be where I go first.
That's what you should be remembering, right?
You know, values, priorities. So you talked about Free Comic Book Day as a way that folks that are not super familiar with comics, whether they're kids or adults with childlike wonder, can come and be introduced to it. Another thing that, you know, we've really liked on the podcast, the MCU over time has gotten kind of closer and closer to adapting certain specific comic arcs. You know, we did that in the past with like Winter Soldier is maybe the most famous Civil War.
Sure.
But even then they were a lot, you know, part of the fun was you never quite knew what they were going to be pulling from. And there's still some of that, but I think it's been really fun seeing in the post Endgame era, something like, you know, Love and Thunder, where it's just really directly pulling from these parts of Jason Aaron's Thor saga,
cool.
Or, you know, the like Hawkeye series.
Totally.
And yeah, so
Hawkeye is really incredible.
Oh man. So it's been, which I just saw the announcement right before we started recording that Fraction's writing a one shot tie-in for the Fantastic Four movie. Did you see this?
I didn't see that, but that's awesome.
I think it's supposed to be like in universe, like MCU set comic from Fraction, which is going to be
that's awesome,
incredible.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's so much good Fantastic Four stuff coming out. I mean, how can we not be so fired up about Galactus in New York?
I mean, and it's like looking at like the movie, the Doom one shot, the gallery edition that just came out, or Treasury edition, and then Ryan North's Fantastic Four is just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, we're about to be going hard in Fantastic Four mode.
Totally.
Super but excited. Prior to that, and corresponding with Free Comic Book Day, we have Thunderbolts coming up, which we are super excited about on the show. Kyle and I have been. This is one that we've been hyped about for a while now, because there's just been so much good buzz about this movie from the production period. Like, it just seems like everyone is really excited about what they've been working on. And, you know, the comic side of Thunderbolts is unique because in a lot of ways they're pulling certain things from Bendis's work on the new Avengers, Dark Avengers run, like Avengers Tower showing up, Sentry showing up. But, you know, it's also a Thunderbolts movie, and Thunderbolts is one of those, like, it's got kind of a not convoluted necessarily, but complicated comic book history. And I thought it would be helpful if you could maybe talk a little bit about what folks may look for or what folks can expect in the movie potentially from a comic book perspective, but also like if you have any recommendations for specific comics that folks might want to pick up as we get closer to the film.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Thunderbolts are obviously a team of anti-heroes, nay, even villains, maybe, you know. They draw a lot of comparisons to Suicide Squad, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like Fontaine and Waller sort of analogous there. But I'm really curious to see the direction that the film takes it, because there are a lot of different, like, shades of the Thunderbolts. Like, you know, Kurt Busiek's original thing, we thought we were going to be introduced to a new team of heroes, and it turns out, you know, it's Baron Zemo and his, like, yeah. you know, his evil crew, of course. And then, you know, it kind of came into its own during the Warren Ellis run. A lot of that stuff, like, these Thunderbolts stories are about redemption, right? It's like, is redemption possible for a villain? And, like, how much do you have to do to come back from what you've done? So I think we should expect a lot of really, like, powerful themes about redemption. And also, you know, this is a team of anti-heroes and villains. So, you know, there was a great line in the Deadpool Wolverine movie from Colossus that talks about, you know, you have to be a hero for a few seconds, right? Like, being a hero is about choices. So the Thunderbolts are constantly a team that is having to face situations and then make choices, right? Moral, immoral, good, bad. And how does that relate to, you know, their own redemption? Do they want to grow and change, or do they want to fall back into, you know, their old ways? So I'm definitely curious to see how far they take the redemption of some of these characters, but also sort of the steps backwards, right? So that's kind of the interesting thing you can get with, like, a villain-centric movie. But I mean, I'm super excited about all the filmmakers involved. You know, I know we discussed it before, but there's some really talented people on this picture. So I have high hopes for it. And, you know, like, it should be fun. Like, I love anti-heroes, and I love all the actors and actresses in it. Florence Pugh is amazing. You know, Sebastian Stan is having a real year. And of course, who doesn't love David Harbour? So, you know, the super serum Russian Red Guardian. So
you know, I'm glad that you talk about the kind of the lines there, the morality questions, because I think one thing I really like about Thunderbolts, specifically the incarnation I think we're getting in the movie, you have these characters that they've done bad things, but a lot of them, it really feels like they were just dealt bad hands. That, like, you look at the Avengers, and obviously, you know, your classic kind of hero Batman, Spider-Man narrative. Like, everyone has the tragic backstory. But you also kind of see where they've been put in a position to succeed and, like, and to be the heroes and be the good guys and be rewarded for being the good guys. And then you look at these characters like Yelena or Bucky, who never had any control over their life. They were literally had no control over their lives.
Right.
So now they have this lifetime of guilt for things that they didn't really do, but they'll always be associated with.
Right. Yeah. And totally, and so talk about redemption, you know.
Yeah.
Bucky Barnes. You know, like, like, what can you do after, you know, a life of political assassinations, right? And, like, destabilizing nations. And, you know, like, these were operatives in, you know, like, there were tools of evil forces. And, you know, they're trying to find their place and their way. And these aren't bad people, right? Like, we know these characters and we know they want to do good, but they obviously have a track record or a lot of bad things. And, you know, it's like US Agent, like, he, you know, he wants to do a good job as the new Captain America or whatever, but, you know, he fails at that because, you know, he has some flaws in his character. And those are the kind of characters that are, have always been really interesting to me too. It's like, you know, like, is it a tragedy or a comedy, right? Do they overcome their flaw and grow as a person, or do they, you know, fall victim to their own character flaw? So I think we'll see a lot of these characters go both directions in it. So I'm curious to see, you know, heck, I don't know, is Daniel Brühl going to be in it? Is Zemo going to make a secret cameo? I don't know.
I would love a Zemo cameo. My, you know, I do think you're right. It's, there's something, I mean, I'm a huge Captain America fan, and Kyle and I, for the longest time, kind of had a, you know, Team Cap, Team Iron Man thing going. And so this is not blasphemy against Steve Rogers, but to your point, there's not much in Steve Rogers that is relatable. Like, you don't, it's like Superman. Like, that's the character to bring out the best of us, that inspires us. It's not the character that we see ourselves in.
Right.
You know, it's part of the power of, like, Spider-Man on the one hand, but I think in some ways, even more so with characters like this, where, like, no one is perfect. No one's done everything that they wanted to do in their life, and they wish that they had done certain things differently. And so it is important to see that there are moments to potentially go a different direction.
Totally. Absolutely. Right. Like, it's a foregone conclusion that Peter Parker, that Steve Rogers, that Clark Kent are going to do the right thing. Right. And that's not what real life is. So, you know, like, that's it, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see these characters faced with challenges and then, you know, what their choices are, because every single one of those decisions, you know, determines whether, you know, they're a hero or a villain. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good word. Okay, I have one more Thunderbolts question for you before you go. And this is off the cuff. One thing that I've wondered, you know, we had Thunderbolt Ross come back, Harrison Ford in Brave New World. And obviously that, you know, he's now kind of off the table, at least for the moment. But he's also kind of got the Hulk stuff in him still, potentially.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the Thunderbolt of Thunderbolt Ross will come into play at all in the Thunderbolts movie, or do you think that is all just a strange coincidence?
I don't think, you know, in all my years as a detective, there's no such thing as coincidence, Robbie.
There it is.
So, yeah, I wholeheartedly, I mean, and like, I loved Brave New World, but I felt like I could have used some more Red Hulk action. We all could have used a little bit more Red Hulk. So I would love to see, you know, Red Hulk deployed in some way, you know, in, if it's not in this movie, you know, I'm sure Harrison's busy, but they could just, you know, CG Red Hulk him in there. So, you know, he's definitely a big part of that whole story, you know, and, you know, eventually, like, Red Hulk is on the team. So I would love to see that come to fruition. We kind of get this right. Dark Avengers, normal Avengers, you know, bring them all into the fold. And why not have two Hulks? We love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's, it would be perfect.
Yeah.
As we're kind of seeing some, you're already seeing some stand-ins, you know, developing with the current lineup there. So that would be fun. Okay. That is all that I have for you, but I am so excited for us to be at Awesome Books of Comics in just over a week. And I'm so excited for Free Comic Book Day. If anyone is in Texas, please come join us. I know that that's a big ask because some parts of Texas are like the equivalent of four states away for other parts of the country.
Yeah.
You know, but we've got some dedicated listeners, so who knows?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge celebration. We're going to have snow cones. We're going to have free books, all sorts of awesome prizes. Come in costume, bring the whole family. It'll be an amazing event. So thank you so much for having me, Robbie.
Oh, man, absolutely. Thank you. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah, take care, man.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.